Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on a podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Alan.
I'm Grizz.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering the unaired fights of BattleBots Season 5.0 on Comedy Central.
As has become a custom with us and BattleBots, we have managed to unearth a plethora of unaired fights that happened during BattleBots Season 5.0. And because we're completionists, or as some would say, autistic, we have to go through these fights. We have to, Alan.
So, I want to play a game. Trailer for Saurix dropped last night. It looks fucking awesome.
Nah, not watching it. I'm going in blind. I am definitely going day one-ish to see Saw 10. But
one thing I will just warn you in advance.
Yes, ma'am.
It is a prequel.
Okay.
It's not set in the modern day.
That would make sense as to why they're bringing Tobin Bell back again.
Yep.
Okay, good to know.
So, I think it's meant to be set up between the first and the second, I believe.
I would have thought it would maybe between Jigsaw and the first, but that's irrelevant.
I don't know, because the one thing they haven't confirmed is if the guy they retroactively said in Jigsaw, no, he's also part of this, definitely. Even though he didn't appear in anything else.
Yeah. I started to feel bad for this guy. It's like, since when?
Since I realized, this is a really shitty way to die. And also, well, the idea is, he just made a mistake. It wasn't until I made a mistake and overdid his medication that I realized.
Look, it was my first set of traps, okay? They're not all going to be winners. I forgot, what were we here to talk about today?
So, the unaired fights.
As I said,
I want to play a game. This game is called Grizz Guesses the Name of Robots.
Okay, here we go. So what happened was...
Fights featuring Mobius, which is the middleweight full-body spinner. Team that had the massive... that they entered with a coffin and it was all spooky.
Yes.
So, our first match, Mobius is facing a wedge. Grizz, what do you think the name of this robot is?
Brian.
I mean, it does have a trait of Brian Danielson.
It's a dragon.
No.
It's broken. It's broken arm.
No.
Well, by the end of the fight, it's kind of broken.
Yeah.
A trait of Brian Danielson is good.
It's
technical.
A word that you'd use to describe what what Brian Danielson displays very often in his career.
Yes.
No. So, like, if I said that someone had, like, someone just kept on going, kept on turning up, you would say that that person had.
Huxpa.
Right idea, wrong word.
Right,
They just
this is
keep
a
going.
tough.
Like the segment.
Yeah.
They would
Tenacity?
have. Oh, you're so close!
Oh, right,
PB
just give it.
pa.
Panache?
No! Persist.
Persistence.
Yay!
I did it all on my own.
Persistence. A bit like this robot has persistence for annoying the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Because they go, holy fuck, that's a lime green full body spinner. Nope. We're just going to run away from it until it drops dead.
Yep, because a lot of this match was Mobius just chasing persistence about. It was very persistent in not getting hit.
So, yeah, so.
It ends up going to a judge's decision, I think, but obviously,
But
Mobius
Mobius
wins.
wins because it. The few times it hits, it does devastating damage.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So its next opponent is an axe robot. It creeps me out in Spanglish.
It creeps you out in Spanglish?
Yes.
Hmm.
And it takes the L, and it's, I don't know, some would say it's a bit spooky. Sorry,
Spiders.
That was far too obvious a clue.
Is it? It takes the L, some would say it's spooky. Spanish spiders.
It's called El Spooky.
Oh, well, I would never have thought of that in a million years.
So,
it's an Xbox called El Spooky.
And Mobius just rips it apart.
Yep, not very much to say there.
Which is a shame, because it looks fucking awesome. It's like basically
yeah.
like curved wedges. I mean, it looks like a wondrous piece of engineering.
Oops. Yeah, like El Spooky, it does have like a really cool paint job on the side.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of sad that it got torn apart.
Oh yeah.
It does
torn apart.
It does look like the kind of ramps that you see at like BMX parks.
Yeah.
Obviously with a giant axe sticking out of it, but nevertheless. Okay, so we move on to our third fight. It's Mobius against the box.
Yep, it is a box. It's a scoop bot. It's right, I'll give you half the name.
Okay.
So its name, it's the second part of its name is the letter D.
Boxy D.
No.
Scoopy D.
How to put this? This robot has male pronouns.
Manly D.
Right, first letter.
D.
That's Mr. D to you.
Oh. No, Mr. D is my father's name.
No, Mr. D is this robot's name.
Yeah.
So it's a scoop bot, and this doesn't last long. Now,
nope.
One thing that's not clear from this shot, the front wheels of this robot are protected. So at first,
I thought they were all protected, and it was just the first shot took off like
huge chunks of the protection on one side. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It just does not go well for Mr. D.
Nope. Not at all.
And almost as quickly as this began, it's ended. And we move on to our fourth and final Mobius match.
Yep. Okay.
Another spinner.
A bar spinner, which has risen from the ashes.
Phoenix.
There we go.
Yay.
Hooray.
You could have said, oh yeah, your favorite one-time robot from season two of Robot Wars.
I can't remember that.
Phoenix.
Yep.
Yep, a wheel gets torn off, like, instantly.
Yep.
And it just promptly goes downhill from there.
Oh, yeah. It's horrible. It's kind of... It's not only that. Phoenix's weapon is already dying by the start of the fight.
Mm-hmm.
So its weapon doesn't work. It's missing a wheel. And you're just sitting the whole time going, oh boy.
This is just depressing.
Yeah. And yeah, that is our Mobius collection.
Yes, the Chronicles of Mobius.
Which is still a better film than Morbius.
Hmm.
So, we start off our Inferno Labs section.
Yes.
With two matches involving Dr. Inferno Jr. I wonder if we'll be seeing a bit of him next week.
Hmm. I wonder how these matches are going to go.
Yep. So, their first opponent is Afterburner, which is a full body spinner by Team Loki. And I wish I had seen this before I saw the final two episodes of BattleBots. Because it would have been a surprise when Dr. Inferno Jr. gets his arm ripped off.
Ah, yes. Yep, because they just mentioned that that was a thing and they never mentioned how. And now we found out how.
Yep. And as I said, yep, it gets the... So, the first attack, and you don't even see the arm come off. You're just looking at one point, the arm isn't there anymore.
Didn't you used to have an arm?
It's a flesh wound. Amazingly, despite the fact because it's a two-spinner robot, and it's missing one of its spinners, it's still balanced.
Yeah, surprisingly. But then this is a great little bit of driving as Dr. Inferno just kind of corrals Afterburner right in the perfect angle under the pulverizer.
Which at that weight class is devastating.
Yes. And it was devastating because it just hit Afterburner in the perfect area to flip it up and over.
The one thing, Dr. Inferno Jr. keeps poking it. And you're just going, why are you poking it? I mean, literally, your arm's over there somewhere. Learn your lesson, boy.
Don't poke the burner.
Yep, indeed. Our second round of this is actually a quarter final in the tournament.
Yeah, I think this one was slightly highlighted in one episode.
And it was. Surprisingly, considering that this is actually a decent match, both of us we've had a slight break in recording because I feel like I've deep-throated Mick Foley's Barbie, and Grizz has just been sick.
Yep. I wish we had a worse match just before that so I could say that's what made me sick. But, oh well.
No, that's coming later. This match is actually pretty good. Dr. Inferno Jr.'s direct is dictating the pace of the match. Any time that Death by Monkeys tries to pick up the pace of the match, it gets cut off. And, yeah, this is probably one of the better matches that we're covering.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's a lot of these unaired matches where you watch and go, I can see why that match wasn't aired. But this one, I'm quite surprised.
Particularly the fact it's a quarterfinal.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's this one like really good shot where Death by Monkeys gets in under Inferno and takes him like practically around the whole arena and then sends him into the wall. But it's like just before he hits the wall, for some reason Dr. Inferno just kind of flicks up, and so he kind of flies through the air for a brief second.
Yeah. And yeah, it is a. It's an interesting match. As I said, it seems to be kind of. Because it finishes 26-19 for Inferno. And I take it that's for strategy and aggression.
Yeah. I would assume so. And I think just because we're talking about him now, as will be a good time to bring it up. But how does this robot manage to never be knocked over?
Not a fucking clue.
It is absolute insanity. Like, how many times that robot should have been knocked over and never is.
Yep.
But Death by Monkeys is eliminated.
Yep.
So, our next match is Summoner versus Blade Runner.
Yeah, so Summoner uploaded a bunch of their matches. If I had been for this point, I would have thought that this is probably the... Oh shit. Oh, there we go. That's fine. I thought I'd accidentally deleted my notes on Gladiator versus Dissector. So, this video is the video of someone watching something on a TV.
Yes. It's not great quality at all.
And the quality of this video would make you sick if you hadn't been already.
Yep, this definitely making me feel a little like that. Mm-hmm. So, yep, Summoner wins.
Yeah. It's two robots rubbing together. I feel sorry for the judges. And by the sound of it, the judges, I think it was 23-22.
Oh, so it was close.
Yes, very close. So, we then have, I have to be honest, a match I'm surprised didn't get to TV.
Same.
As T-Rex takes on the Alabama Slammer.
Alabama. Yeah, I thought this was a fun little match, to be honest.
So, these are two robots we've seen before. T-Rex is the robot with the... it's a hammerbot. Like a thwack hammerbot. Alabama Slammer is a dinky biohazard.
Yeah.
If Biohazard's weapon had no power. Early on, it's very clear T-Rex is in charge of this fight.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama Slammer is kind of just... screaming around the arena in no real consistent way or plan.
Yeah, he even fires his weapon at random times that don't benefit it whatsoever.
Yeah, at some point, it does actually lose its... it loses one of the teeth on its weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Which is...
I'm trying to try keep an eye out for when that happens.
It just kind of... it just sort of happens. There's also one point where Alabama Slammer goes charging full force, and you see T-Rex sees it coming and nails it perfectly.
Yeah, there's a few times where it does that, and it's just like every time it's just like kapow, and it's like that's good timing right there. That's excellent driving.
Yep.
So T-Rex clearly is the person on top, the robot on top, as we get down to like the final 30 seconds or so, and then tragedy strikes as T-Rex gets caught up.
Oh, this is horrible. Don't like this.
And the sheer panic of the drivers, the fans, and the viewers at home. And this is the part of exactly why I think, yeah, this would be a perfect match for TV, because like the amount of drama that you could have had the commentators put behind that, like being like, they were winning the whole time and they could lose it here. But Alabama Slammer comes in with a shot.
You can actually hear for a portion of time. You can almost hear T Rex going,
Shit.
Because his wheels are off the ground. And it's actually Alabama Slammer who saves them.
Yeah.
And I think that's a mistake. Because if they'd left them, I think they would have given it to Alabama Slammer. Because it's 23-22 to T-Rex.
Yeah, I don't understand that. How, like, I wouldn't say Alabama Slammer did really anything to garner a lot of points, never mind a very, very close decision.
Well, maybe aggression.
Maybe.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, because there was enough time left in the fight that if T-Rex was left there, they would probably be deemed immobile.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Our next fight features Psychotron taking on Wrath Jr.
So, unsurprisingly, this fight between a wedge and a different type of wedge is very tactical.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Wrath Jr. is this sort of weird wedge design where it's more like a snowplow.
Yeah.
It's actually an awesome looking robot. It kind of reminds me of, what's the name of that robot that wins the American Robot Wars? Well, the Robot Wars, the Extreme Warriors or whatever it was called. Panzer.
Okay. I was going to say Juggerbot, but that was Robotica. That's the same robot, essentially.
So it reminds me of that in its sort of setup. The second Panzer, not the first. So, Psychotron seems to not have a lot of grip.
Yeah, I think even they said that at the end of the fight.
Yeah.
Because one of them was talking to the camera guy or something. And it was like, yep, there was no grip there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, so it's, yeah, as you say, it was a kind of tactical fight, but it's just a lot of, like, it's pretty much Wrath just kind of getting in under Psychotron.
Yep.
Because Psychotron, as we just alluded to, has no grip, so it couldn't really get in under Wraith very much. But then also, like, that's the kind of thing with their setup. I think I said this the last time we watched a Psychotron fight, was if a robot gets too high up on that scoop, then it'll go on top of the tires, and so you wouldn't really be able to shove it around that much.
Yep.
But 29-16, the judges decide to go for in favor of Wrath.
Yep. It's tactical, but it's not very interesting.
Yes.
Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Chris and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax spelled T-E-K-N-O-A-X-E. Speaking of what ends up being a very tactical, not very interesting match, the Midweight Conciliation Rumble.
Consolation,
that's what I'm looking for. So, five robots battling for two places to be in the final middleweight rumble that doesn't happen.
Which we never see.
Well, you don't see it because it doesn't happen.
Yes. Damn you, Nightmare.
I believe that this is uploaded by the Summoner team. Because I think this is the same channel that showed the Summoner match earlier.
Yeah.
So it's the Summoner, Misty the Wonderbot, which is a spinner that's not working, Jackrabbit, which is a spike robot, Alabama Slammer, which we've already established, can't actually lift, it skipped leg day, and arm day, and core day, and just any sort of exercise.
And neck day.
No, weirdly it did focus on neck day. And finally, the only robot with an active working weapon, Complete Control.
Yay.
And it takes many, many people, mostly Summoner, to Suplex City.
Oh, yeah. Like, this match was just... Because we mentioned is two of these five robots will advance to the elusive... Rumble, which obviously doesn't happen. So it seems as if Complete Control and Alabama Slammer just decide, right, we're going to be the two that are going to advance, so let's just work together.
Yep.
Because these two robots just spend the entire time just double penetrating other robots.
Yep.
Your silence says it all. So it's just like Complete Control will grab a robot, and then Alabama Slammer will kind of get in on the other side of the robot. Like there's a point where I think between the two of them, they have Misty the Wonderbot stuck on top of them
Complete
for like a straight
Control
minute.
Complete Control tries to double suplex Alabama Slammer and Misty the Wonderbot, and it can't do it.
Boo, that would have been great.
Oh yeah, absolutely, that would have been great.
So a lot of insanity ensues. And it's, yep, as Alan kind of alluded to, it is just a lot of Suplex City.
Because they're the only people that can actually push or have actual weapons. Everyone else is just kind of rubbing on each other.
Yeah, like, the only other robot of any kind of note is Jackrabbit, who every now and again just kind of drives in a corner and then she goes blah, and then she's like, okay, I'm gonna just go over the other side of it, blah.
Yep. Yeah.
So we don't actually find out who wins this this match, so I'm just going to assume it probably is Alabama Slammer and Complete Control for the reasons I gave earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, it was good fun. I knew that there wasn't many, if any, rumbles in this season because of the incident, but I was quite happy when we stumbled upon one.
I'm going to have to interrupt. What's the incident?
Something happened, and I believe it was involving Nightmare, where I think they had a rumble, and Nightmare hit somebody, and I think the roof might be like netting or something. Like it wasn't fully encased. And that piece of debris went into the crowd.
Oh. Okay. Right.
I am just going to quickly look up and, you know, confirm my sources.
Yeah. Oh,
please. But while I do that, why don't we talk about the now we're onto the Spinister
section. Oh, for fuck's right. So Spinster, the robot Spinister. The little robot that that could, and fuck knows how, because it is a weird looking machine.
Not any more weird than its opponent, who has the greatest name. I know that you've got another robot with a name that you love later on, but I love this robot. It's Poops McGee.
That's not the one I was referring to. So Poops McGee is a full body spinner. And it takes a while to get going, and then it starts spinning. It's like, oh, it's something interesting. Oh, it's conked out. Wah, wah, wah. So, we then have an Inferno team match as the Towering Inferno takes on Ripken. Ripken is a circular bot with a full body spinner?
Yes.
It's probably the best way to put it.
Like, the shell doesn't exactly revolve. It's hard to kind of describe.
Yep. So, the collisions that these two robots have are nasty. And actually, you actually see that the spinner ends up breaking on Ripken. But by the time it breaks, Taran Inferno, one of the wheels isn't working, but both hammers are.
Yeah, it just kind of flails about in some weird, like, dance of death. As if it was clearly dying at the time.
Yeah. And, yeah, so it does go to the judges somehow, but Ripken wins 27-18, which isn't entirely surprising. We then get to see a Warhead match with JC Slammer. And I know why this match doesn't get aired.
Right there. Just to confirm that I've seen someone posting it on Reddit. Nobody has yet mentioned Nightmare sending a bot piece into the crowd in Comedy Central Season 5. There were no major injuries according to the wiki, but it certainly qualifies as an arena breach.
Uh-huh.
Confirmation.
So we aren't just... Now, obviously we have to be very careful, because we've done this before where we've cited something as fact and then it turned out we only had one source.
Yeah. In fact, funnily enough, very funnily enough, like the Reddit post in question was, has there been any accidents in robot combat? And I did see someone literally mention Pandemonium. Spiking that guy's leg, even though it has now came out since then that Pandemonium had nothing to do with it.
Justice for Pandemonium! He says, fully aware that he is one of the people who did not give Pandemonium its due. Anyway.
Well, like, if I remember correctly, our wording was very much, this is what I've heard from multiple sources online, so it was a lot of people that were wrong, and I just read it from many people saying it was, so I took it as gospel.
Yep.
But never did I say that it was 100%. I just saying this is what I keep hearing, so we covered it kind of.
Yeah.
So we're on to Warhead versus JC Slammer.
Yep.
Weird seeing an unaired warhead fight, but
it becomes very clear why.
Yeah. This is the fight though where you get to hear the spinning weapon of Warhammer.
Oh, this is terrifying.
Because it doesn't have all the hoopla in the background.
So, this robot barely looks in control.
Yeah. It's kind of worrying, actually. And this was a definitely more earlier in the competition as well.
Yep.
Because the same thing happens that happened in the last Warhead fight that we covered last week, where it just seems as if sometimes the disc just starts like pulling the robot forward, and so the disc then starts hitting the ground. It manages to get off like a good shot, which rips like kind of one of the front panels off a slammer. Uh-huh. But the impact was so big that it knocked the robot over, Warhead, so it used its self-righting wings for like the first time.
Yep. Indeed.
And then it just kind of goes on like this, with Warhead just kind of worriedly about to keel over, and then it gets a good shot in. And then there's this point where Warhead's disc just kind of stops working briefly. JC Slammer then gets a decent slam into Warhead, into the wall, and it's like, for a brief second, I'm starting to worry that Warhead may be on the outs, and then the disc kind of starts working again. It's like, all right, never mind.
And then there's this moment where Warhead kind of goes, oh, we've won. So they just sort of sit next to.
Yeah, it's like they kind of just sit and poke JC Slammer, just like, eh. Uh-huh. Eh. Stop moving. Why are you moving?
I mean, you've already lost, and we're just. Is that kind of way of what? Why would we attack? We already know we've won the fight.
Yeah, and it definitely realized it did, considering, you know, JC Slammer's face is on the other side of the arena.
Yep.
Coming up next, we're back with Spinister, as this time he takes on the Sledgejammer.
I wonder why this didn't make it to TV. So this robot, it's a full body spinner, and it's got, instead of one bar that it hits, it has two, one at the front, one at the back.
However, yeah, it's got like two bits at the end of the sticks.
And I don't get, are these meant to be hammers? Because they just look like they're like roof tiles that have been glued on.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is they don't last very long.
Yeah, literally the first impact they fall off.
But seeing that though, like, this match goes to the judges, and it's a victory for Spinister, and I don't understand how. Because I would argue that Sledgejammer was the one doing all the work.
Yeah.
But anyway, Spinister gets the victory here. Off the judge's decision. I'm just seeing if I have the decision. It was a 25-20 judge's decision for Spinister.
Yeah, it's a match that exists.
It certainly is.
I did put on Does Sinister have a flipper? Because the one of the plastic wedgelets it has keeps popping up.
No, I think that's just that. I don't think it's meant to be a flipper. I think it's just meant to be a plastic wedge.
Yeah.
I think the two rods that are on either side are meant to be what the weapons are, but it doesn't really do anything.
Yeah.
But we're going to stick with Spinister, as this time it takes on Heart of Gold,
which is a wedge robot with a drum spinner at the top of the wedge for some reason.
Yeah.
And an arse made of duct tape.
So let's keep our weapon as far away from the opponent as possible.
Yeah. I mean, on the plus side, at least this gets up the proper lights, and it's clear that they're actually doing this at a taping rather than just at the start of the event when everyone's just having matches.
Yeah. And definitely, like, these earlier matches, like, has the, like, 2 minutes time limit. And you see that the kill saws and everything aren't active. It's just...
And the whole fight, Heart of Gold, is slowly dying. Not from anything that Spinster's done, it's just dying slowly.
It's as if it put in the batteries that weren't fully charged, and it's just like... Yeah, because there's only, like... two interesting points to this match. It's like, there's a point where, like, the two of them both go over the kill saws, and then Heart of Gold kind of struggles from then on. Kinda then comes back and then just decides to drive right back over the kill saws again.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what kills it. No pun intended. Or pun intended. Take your pick. Bzz.
Yeah. So, we move on to from Spinster benefiting from its opponent randomly dying. We get on to Spinster versus Hexadecimator, where the second match starts like, okay, Spinster's dead.
Yep.
It.
It's the saga of Spinister, and it's over by Hexy D.
Yeah. Because it just gets... It tries to get moving, and then it just doesn't.
Oh, yeah. Well, what a wet fart of a way for the Spinister saga to end, but at least it's interesting that it's kind of traveled through, as we kind of mentioned, like, it got to, like, the sort of TV level of, like, as we said, with, like, having the lights and the kill saws and everything active, so at least it done well enough to get to a prominent stage of the show, so credit to that.
Yeah.
XED just flips it around the arena because it's slowly dying.
Oh, yes.
And so we end this episode now with the Steel Rain saga.
Get on with this.
Well, tell us about Steel Rain.
It should be a drum spinner robot. Instead, it's a pushing robot.
It does have a drum spinner.
Just never use it.
And its first match is against Mauler MK2K.
Yep.
And soundly defeats it in seconds.
I didn't think that this was season 5 at first. I was like, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah, why is old Mahler back?
And yeah, the video is like a minute.
Yeah, nothing really happened. Mahler spins up, Steel Rain comes in, Kenna just dinks it, and then Mahler just stops.
Uh-huh.
And then by the end of the fight, the shell is practically coming off of Mahler.
Yeah.
Kind of a sad way to watch Mahler go out.
Absolutely.
Up next, Steel Rain versus Robo Loco.
So it is a pusher drum spinner versus a massive bar spinner. A ridiculously large spinner bar. Which does precisely zero damage.
I'm not even sure if that could cut bread in half. Yeah. It's like Tombstone on a budget.
Yeah.
If that budget was like 50 quid.
Oh, no. Come on. 50 pence.
Ah. Yeah, like 50 pence and all the stuff taken from a scrapyard. This match actually somehow manages to go to the judges.
Who cares?
Well, this was probably the only match where we actually saw Steel Rain's weapon actually get used, because it gouges part of one of the tires, and I think it gets kind of stuck in the weapon.
Yep.
But other than that, it is a victory for Steel Rain, 37-8, judges decision style. And now the moment that we've all been waiting for, and Alan, it's Steel Rain against his favourite robot.
No, the favourite name, not my favourite robot.
No, it's your favourite robot.
No, this is no one's favourite robot. Even the man who built this robot is not his favourite robot. Thy nuts are stainless. Which is a cool name for an enormous boat of a robot.
It is fucking huge.
It is huge. It is an inverted wedge. It is bigger at the top than the bottom.
And has like the tiniest flipper.
Yeah, it's like this big juggernaut of a robot, and then it's got this flaccid little penis on the front.
Little tiny pecker.
Yeah.
And they show a shot of the driver, and he is going ham on that control stick like he's an actor playing a video game in like a TV show.
Yeah.
You know, not how like people normally play video games, but like the way that people play games in TV shows where they're like moving the controller about the place and just randomly mashing at buttons.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
So once again, Steel Rain gets a judge's decision. And it's a judge's decision of 24-21.
Yep.
And with that, the Steel Rain saga is over. And with the Steel Rain saga being over...
I'm not going to miss Comedy Central. Actually, no, tell a lie, I am, because next week we have some real fun coming.
I'll save my thoughts until the end of next week's episode.